We are thankful that we can come in Jesus' name, our Father. For what way could we possibly come but in Him? Make Him real to the lives that are here tonight. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 8 and 9, which says, Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Note this phrase, but now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus. Over the entrance to the Union Station in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., there's a statement which reads like this. Fire, greatest of discoveries, enabling man to live in several climates, use many foods, and compel the forces of nature to do his work. And then, electricity, carrier of light and power, devourer of time and space, the greatest servant of man, yet itself unknown. And then beneath all of this is that portion of our text, Thou hast put all things under His feet. Now you and I realize tonight that whoever wrote this didn't understand the true meaning of our text, for it isn't man, natural man, that this text speaks of, but it speaks of the man, Jesus Christ, God's Son. And while we know that God did give dominion to the natural man back in the Garden of Eden, yet as we read the record, we find how Satan came into that garden, and it didn't take him long, and Adam was no longer the ruler, but the bond slave. And there are many statements in the Word of God that prove this, but especially the first three chapters of the book of Romans views man from every viewpoint, and it shows that man is a person of complete wreckage and ruin. You see, there isn't a spark left in the human family that could ever be revived into anything that God could accept. Man is totally depraved. He is undone completely. And so, while this is true, we read in the book of Corinthians 15th chapter of another Adam. We read of the first man Adam and the second man Adam. We read that one of them was of the earth earthy. We read that the second man was the Lord Jesus from heaven. that the first man begot a natural life, the second man was a quickening spirit. And this second man, Adam, of whom the first was but a figure, met and conquered Satan, and God's plan and God's purpose for the entire universe are all wrapped up in this second Adam. And so we think of our text, but now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now, I want to think first of all how that this statement that the writer put beneath the statement about fire and electricity is not true. There is tonight every evidence that the natural man has not had all things put under him. As we said before, in just a few words, Adam lost dominion. And when he lost it, he never will regain it again. He hasn't, and he won't. Regardless of his efforts to conquer the curse with invention and discovery, he is as helpless before sin and the devil and disease and such like as gasoline would be helpless not to explode if you stuck fire to it. And it is never more evident than it is in the world tonight. I was talking with some of the brethren back in the foyer of the church this morning, and we were talking about disease and how that the disease, in spite of all of the strides man has made in the fields of medicine and surgery, how that there are other diseases that are getting up to mock man, diseases like they never have heard of before. Brother Tom Schmidt testified, his little boy was taken to the hospital here last week, and I said, well, what was the matter with him, Tom? And he said, they don't know. They're just not sure. We have a grandson. The Lord, I'm sure, is going to undertake for him. He's come to the place that he can scarcely walk. His knees hurt, his feet hurt, his hands hurt. He hurts virtually all over, and when he gets up in the morning, he evidently is a great deal like I was several years ago when the devil laid me on the bed with arthritis, and I couldn't lift my head from a pillow. And they took him out to Presbyterian Hospital. They put him through the clinic. They x-rayed him from every angle. They did everything they could. But they say, we don't know what's the matter with him. We have no idea what's the matter with him unless it's just growing pains. I was telling them how I visited my brother on the farm several years ago. And how we were walking out into his fields, and he did raise tobacco on the farm there. We were raised in a tobacco country, and I noticed these white claws tied on each end of the field on the fences, and some of them were up on poles. And I said, why, Merle, what are those? Well, he said, I've got the field marked. Said an airplane is coming in to spray my tobacco. And I said, why, with this little patch that you've got here, you could Paris green it easily in an hour or so. I've seen the time I could have walked into that field, and the way I used to could walk, Brother Gies thinks I can walk pretty good yet, but the way I used to could walk, I felt like I could walk through that little less than 2 acres in just a short time. And he said, well, it wouldn't do any good to put parrot's green on it. He said, these tobacco worms have become completely immune to Paris Green. And so the DDT builds up more bugs and stronger bugs and more pests and stronger weeds. And we've come to the place that nature seems to resist everything that man tries to do to put a lasso on the curse. Remember when Adam fell and when God passed the curse on the earth, man cannot lift that curse, no matter what he tries, no matter how he tries. Let him invent what he wants to invent. Let our scientists and our research men and women spend hours and hours and hours in the laboratories, discovering the cure for this thing and the other thing. Let them find a cure for cancer, and something worse than cancer will come out. You see, precious hearts, not all things are put under man, and they never will be. You see, he flies on the air. He talks on the waves. He probes the depths and space, but instead of putting the curse under, he himself is buried under the curse. And his created monster tonight is just about to devour him. Tonight, the world totters on the brink of international suicide. Let one man start it. You'd be amazed if you knew how many times we've been on the brink of total war. Now don't let anyone tell you tonight that this human race will survive another total war. It won't, it can't. We're near to the time of Armageddon. I'm not trying to be a bugaboo. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm simply telling you what I know to be a fact because I know the book. It has never misled me yet. I've never found anyone it misled. I have never found men and women that were sorry. They made this book the guide and the rule of their lives. I have found literally thousands of men and women personally who found out too late they should have made it the guide of their lives. But precious heart, you see, all things are not put under. We remember, as some of you younger people are far too young for this, but I remember when Roosevelt came with his New Deal. He was going to eliminate poverty. He was going to get rid of the curse that's on the human race. He lived. He died. He tried it all. And he found, and we've found since that time, in his effort to eliminate the curse, he gradually put a noose around America's neck. He was followed by other men, such as Kennedy with his new frontier, and Johnson with his great society, and I don't know what Nixon has, but precious hearts, they all promise a paradise. Nixon, he's going to be the man of peace. I don't know how he could be real close to Billy Graham, and Billy Graham tell him what he ought to be able to tell him, and him think he's going to get the dove in a cage. This book says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. This book tells us that when they shall cry peace and plenty, then sudden destruction shall overtake them, as travail overtaketh the woman with child, and there shall be none escape. Precious hearts, we're near the brink. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not a calamity howler. You know that. You've heard me preach enough to know that I'm optimistic. I'm a man that's filled with the sweetness and the joy of the Lord. But thank God, it isn't because I look around and see a coming utopia as far as the natural man is concerned, but it's because I look up and realize my Christ will not fail. Oh, how we need to think to Him tonight. Why, in all the effort, you see, precious hearts, we've left God out of it. Nothing can work. Why, dear hearts, America, and again I repeat something that you all know real well. If you know anything about the history of this country, the first time we ever in our lives took part in something that didn't put God before the people in prayer is when we were host to the first gathering of the United Nations. Lest we offend people that didn't believe in God, we wouldn't talk about Him. You see, and we wouldn't pray to Him. But do you imagine we offended Him? And what's that? Why, precious hearts, all of the nations this book tells us are as but a dust in the balance before God. Take a very delicate scale, and it'll be out of order if you allow a film of dust to gather in it. But you walk over and there went the dust. That's what the nations are to God. Oh, how we need to seek Him out tonight. And so, a short history of America shows that we came from whale oil and tallow candles to rockets tonight. And yet we have more misery, more suicide, more insanity, more crime than America has ever known. Tonight, usually good people are locked up when night comes. And the bad people are out running the streets. Don't you know that? Family, we're discussing an absent member who had gone away and made a fortune. One of the members of the family said, well, he's getting up in the world. Poor old grandma over there rocking in her chair that no one paid much attention to anymore said, which world? You know what Disneyland is to children, don't you? It's just a lot of fancy. Took our little grandson David out there. His Uncle John took him inside. He was telling me that ghost part of it. And he just hung to John and clung to him. You see, there was nothing there to really scare him. Wasn't a thing. But it looked like that. And dear hearts, let me tell you, this world tonight is just a Disneyland. It's just a place that's full of baubles, will-o'-the-wisp, an echo, a promise that it can't keep, run up and down the world like the so-called jet set does. And they're looking for something new to give them a thrill. You see, the only thing that can finally and completely thrill the human heart is Jesus Christ. Let's step on. Surely we don't see all things put under man. But then, we don't see all things put under the Christian. Now, I am well aware, no one knows it any more than I know it, that Christ came to this world and overcame, and we stand in His victory. I know that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I know that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But all things are not yet actually under the believer. You know that, don't you? You see, Paul spoke, that great apostle, he said, we have trouble on every side. He said, we're distressed. We're not in despair. We are cast down. We're not forsaken. And he well knew, as he said, we're pressed out of measure, beyond strength, insomuch that we despair even of our lives. Now you think for 2 years I would have lived with the pain of arthritis growing worse and worse if I could have conquered it? Now he blessedly came and conquered it. I challenge you to find it in me tonight. Sister spoke of how the Lord healed her. Well, of course, he's been my physician for over 40 years. How wonderful. What a wonderful physician. I've learned that he isn't always going to take me out of the fire just as soon as he puts me in it. He has a purpose to work out. And all things are not put under us tonight. We share the sorrow that's in the world. Paul said, we sorrow, but not as they which have no hope. And precious hearts, here we are tonight. I don't know what thing may confront you before the day is out. The night is out. The week is out. I don't know what's coming between now and next week. I don't know what calamity may be permitted to get through the hedge to you. I don't know what might happen to pull down the things that you love and adore and enjoy. But this I do know, we're on the winning side. And it's going to come out right. Oh, we see Jesus. Now, if you'll note in that 8th and 9th verse, you see this word see twice. The first one means an impression of the eye. The second one means to intently behold. And so, with the eyes, we see something that is passing. I see the disease. I see the prison. I see the adversity.
I see, as I said this morning, princes riding, or fools riding, and princes walking. With the eyes, Job saw his fortune go. With his eyes, he saw his family go. With his eyes, he saw his wife go against him. With his eyes, he saw his friends come to taunt him.
But he saw something else. He saw God. And that's what you and I need to learn. You see, it looks like sometimes that God sort of lets us get stomped on. It looks like he puts us in the fire and he just don't seem to care. It seems like he turns his back on us and the heavens turn to brass and he won't listen and we cry, but he won't listen. You're just seeing something that's passing there. Yes, our text said, we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. We know it's gonna be put under him. Certainly much today is out of harmony. Men must agree that sorrows, aches, faded dreams, tumbled castles and such like are on every hand. And even the believer has these things happen to them. Isn't that right? You know, when I first was saved and filled with the Spirit, I began to see divine healing. I just thought everybody was going to get healed. I forget his name. Dear brother, started out a few years ago, and just as well I forget his name tonight. I knew that he was off on a tangent. I didn't know how long it was going to last. Why he made fun of anyone that would get a doctor. Now, precious hearts, I trust the doctor. So I'm not advocating get a doctor, see. I want you to know that. I don't imagine there's anyone in this meeting that trusts God for their body any more than I do. I just don't imagine that. But then, I'm not boasting about it. I'm not bragging. I'm not up here saying, see me, see me. You see, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am as weak as the next fellow. I could fail in 2 minutes, but for him, you see, he is my strength. But this brother went out and he was had a condemning attitude toward everybody. He laughed at anybody that thought of taking medicine. And I remember he was down in the south and there was some child and he pulled up. He had a tube in his throat to breathe through. And he just walked over and jerked that out of the child's neck. And the parents were alarmed about it, and he made fun of them. And the child died. Oh, about 6 months went by, and that dear brother himself took spina meningitis and died. You see, dear hearts, God will get the glory for what he does. He don't want you to boast in you. God don't heal everybody for the simple reason that most of them wouldn't give him the glory if he did. God can't back you up in your self-will. But thank God, While we see these infirmities and these weaknesses and these failures, and we wonder as they multiply and become more and more, and we see this thing, this flood of failure before our eyes, this text seems to almost be an untruth. But thank God, we look a little deeper than that and we see Jesus. And it's all going to come under His sway pretty soon. Now, let's go a little further. You think of when most saints die, the devil might say of them, I'm just saying he might say of them, well, I can't help it that they went to heaven. But I sure kept them in hot water while they were down here. I made them afraid. I kept them worrying. I kept them full of doubt. One day they thought they were saved. The next day they weren't so sure. And the next day they knew they weren't. I kept them sick. I kept them complaining. I kept them afraid to die. You know, it's amazing how many people want to go to heaven until they think they're about ready to go there. That's right. And you see, sickness and death have yet to be fully put under. Jesus was and is the great physician, and yet we still await the redemption of our mortal bodies. And we know more ways than one what it means to groan in these mortal bodies. My family love me dearly. Many people do. Dear Sister Burnett met me out in the foyer this morning. She said, Brother Hill, I wish I had the power of God. I could just walk over to you and lay my hands on you and see you perfectly well in every respect. Well, that would be something that the Lord might not want. Maybe He wants it so I am awake a little more in the night. And, you know, Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to slumber, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Somebody's traveling all the time, going all the time. One day they wake up poor. That's the way it is when you're not busy for God. You see, the Lord keeps me awake a lot more than some of you. I don't mind it. Somehow He gives me the strength. I'm learning in these later years what it is to have Him as my strength. See, I used to just be strong and I could get out in the fields, just about outwork anybody I ever went in the fields with, pitch more hay, throw more bills, cut more tobacco, pick more apples, pick more peaches. I just liked to always have the lead. Strong. I told one of the young fellows that came in this morning, he said how tired he was. I said, why, when I was your age, I never did know what it was to be tired. On the go all the time. But then He weakeneth my strength in the way. And you come to depend on Him. Well, now that's not too bad, is it? Isn't it a lot safer to be held up by His mighty strength than that little old puny arm right there? I don't care if it's an Atlas arm. And He is the one. and so precious hearts. We don't see all things put under the Christian, but we do see Jesus, and he said he was going to put it all under us. And possibly we've grown cynical, seen other Christians and churches, and said, what's the use? But you see, there is use. We need to see Jesus, not men. Today the big and the showy have drawn so many. And then we find out their feet is clay, and we say there's nothing to it. But you see, this is not the thing to look at. Look at Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Son of God. There is strife and envy and such among the people of God. You know that. I remind how the little girl prayed. She said, Lord, make the bad people good and make the good people nice. You see, you can have grace without graces, and then you can have graces without grace. Put them both together. Above all, the failures tonight, we see Jesus. This whole world is full of failure. Don't expect it not to be. God's people are full of failure. Don't look at that. Look at Jesus. And then finally, we see a wretched, sick society. The newspaper reports. I'm a little amused about one of the stations, and I can't place just who it is in my mind just now. But they give a whole rigmarole of disaster and despondency and discouraging events. And then they'll say, now we're going to give the good news. But you see, bad news leads everything. Catastrophe everywhere. Riot everywhere. Corruption of our young people. Oh, you dear young people, I don't blame you for going haywire. You didn't have anyone to show you anything else. Listen, I've seen these young people come into this place, and tonight I'll put them up with anybody. Now, don't you tell me. Don't you tell me they wanted to be ornery and worthless. They just didn't have anybody to show them anything else. No wonder God himself gets sick enough to say, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Sure he did. That's the church that dominates this society and hour in which we live. God said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. We're not entertaining you precious young people, are we? We didn't think you needed any entertainment. Why, glory to God, I had more happiness in 5 minutes with the Lord than I had in 22 years in the world. You know that's right in your own case. But precious hearts, where have we goofed? We hear them sing the faith of our fathers. You see, today's smart alecks don't have the answer, while we so-called prophets of doom have the answer. We know what it's all about. We know what's coming. We know what's about to take place. I often smile as I think of that. A sort of a half-witted guy got saved, and everybody in that little town made fun of him and put their... As he'd go by, had an earthquake in that town, shook down a few buildings, crippled a few people up and killed one or two, and he went down the street slapping people on the back, and he said, now who's right? And then he said, "Come on, Jesus, I'm ready to go." Kind of shook him up. You know, you think everything's okay until suddenly you think you might have to meet eternity. And then you found out that you weren't as smart as you thought you were. More than one Herod has risen up in our world today, and yet how wonderful it is, the worms get them all. We read of Jesus. The Bible said Herod decided he was going to kill the Christ child. Angel of the Lord came, said, "Now you take Mary and the young child Joseph, and you go over yonder into Egypt. I'm not quite ready to bury Herod. I'm going to bury him. I'm going to feed him to the worms pretty soon. But I've got a reason for him to stick around here a little while. You just go over there and stay a while." One day the angel of the Lord came and he said, "Now I've fed old Herod to the worms. Go on back. That's your father. Listen, he can feed anybody to the worms he wants to. You know, some people think it's awful to be eaten of the alligators, but you know, it's still just about worse to be eaten of worms. Alligator just get it over with. Isn't that right?" "Sure. Why, bless your heart. The way some Christians act and talk, you'd think God was losing control of things. They're out going to help him. Oh, let's get this stopped. Let's everybody write a letter to his congressman. Jesus might come if you don't." Do you know God's in control of it tonight? He hasn't lost control. I read in here where it's going to be exactly like it is. And when I see it coming, I'm not about to get out here and get my congressman to try to change it. Because nobody has ever changed this book yet, Pally. And they're not going to. Oh, we don't see things put under him yet, but we see him. He's just about to come tonight. Did you realize that before this meeting is out, I'm not saying something that's far-fetched. Jesus could come for his bride tonight. You'd better believe it. I marvel that he hasn't come. Why, glory to God, when I think of some of the things God can do. I read where a preacher was on a train going to Chicago, and he realized that that train was going to arrive too late, running behind schedule. He said to the fella that was going with him, "Let's go pray." He said, "My man, no point in praying." He said, "This thing just isn't going to make it." And he went and prayed himself anyway. You know, just in about 3 miles, they stopped at a place and took on a very high up government official. They said, "That man has to be in Chicago by a certain time. Put that train through." And you know that fella thought he was the important guy that got the answer to that. But you see, that old preacher was the one that made that train go through. And he got there a half hour before he had to speak. That's right. God runs things. He runs the trains.
Why, if a sparrow don't fall without his eye beholding it, don't you think he's got his eye on you? Why, glory to God, you're worth many sparrows to him. Oh, he's bound to have lost control. I'm walking up and down the floor and I'm wringing my hands. Oh, God, you've got us in an awful mess.
Well, now you can say you're just concerned, or you can call it what it is, unbelief. Why, the hairs on your head are numbered. Something you don't know. But he knows. Steps of good men are ordered of the Lord. He that keepeth Israel will not slumber and will not sleep. His eye is on the righteous. His ear is open to their cry. Moreover, his arm is not short. He has control. I tell you tonight, he has control. And he's going to rule this universe for you. And while you see not yet all things put under him, at his right hand sets the sun that he's going to put it under. We're not far from it. So go out and see the puzzled, distracted, and dying world. But above and over it all, see Jesus and God's purpose in Jesus. And realize the world is passing and God's kingdom is coming. Did you ever sit in the railroad station and look out the window? Well, most of you young people don't know what that is, do you? I'm forgetting here. You don't know what it is. I remember one time I was going to Canada. And I got stuck in a town. And I sat there on that siding in that railroad yard for about 3 hours. And I thought, why don't this thing move? And I looked out the window. I said, well, we're going. Directly I saw the caboose, that old car, go by, and I still sitting there. You see, I thought I was moving, but it was the other guy that was moving. And so it is. The world thinks we're passing, but they're the ones that are passing. We're just going to come into our own pretty soon. You know, I could be up there. Oh, I'm already fitted for it, you know. Be no trouble, huh? I've been in the dressing room for about 40 years, getting fitted. Go downtown, buy a new suit, and they can fit me in about 5 minutes. But you see, the Lord's been getting me a suit that I'm going to wear forever. So he's been fitting me for over 40 years. And when I get over there, Tom, they won't have to alter it. Tom went down, he's waited about 2 months for a suit, and he went down to get it Saturday. Went in there, and the fellow tried it on and said, well, we're going to have to fix the trousers. When I get over there, he say, well, that just exactly fits. Couldn't have been better if I'd have made it myself. Isn't that what you want? Oh, we see not yet all things under him tonight. There are a lot of rebels that think they've broke the pen and got out. But you see, the universe is his pen. And he knows exactly where you are and how long to let you go. And when he says it's enough, it'll be enough. And right soon, you mark my words, right soon, you're going to miss some of we old loud mouth no goods. I'm glad you're getting rid of us. Aren't you? Sure, you don't like us. You ought to be glad to get rid of us. And I'm not going to object. Let's pray. You want to be remembered in prayer at this time, slip your hand up, take it down again. Our Father, we're so deeply grateful for the response in the human heart to you. Help us to put our confidence in the Son of God. He might have his way in Jesus' name.